Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Trevor in less than 30 minutes. And while we are approaching the draft, I do feel like we've got to dive right in with Trevor on the Nico Iamaleava and Tennessee story, and not only where Nico goes from here, but where the Vols go from here. And right now, Tennessee fans, I think, are feeling pretty good about themselves and feeling pretty good about their program. And they should. They did the right thing. They didn't cave to Nico. They stopped dealing with the demands of his dad and his quasi-agent and finally said, good riddance to bad rubbish. And for the first time since I can remember recently, Tennessee has been getting a pat on the back. The UT football program has been getting a pat on the back by everybody around the country. And it must feel good for Vol Twitter, again, perpetually the victim, to finally have the people of the world like Pat Forty and Andy Staples and On Three and everybody to be saying good things about you. Normally, they say bad things. So that's a good step in the right direction. But it's easy to feel good about yourself during spring football practice. Again, you don't have an opponent this Saturday. Last Saturday, you played yourself. But we need to talk about Josh Heupel in Tennessee. Because what's being made a big deal about right now is Nico. The fact that in The Athletic, there was a college coach that said, yeah, I think Nico's worth like $500,000. Not $4 million. I saw a report today that said, hey, these college programs are waiting for Nico to drop the price to $1 million. And when Nico drops it to $1 million, they might pounce. They just don't want to pay $2 million because Nico's not that good. Bill Belichick is going in a different direction. He wants the South Alabama quarterback. He doesn't want Nico. And everybody's pointing and laughing at Nico, and Tennessee fans are enjoying themselves. And you know what? You're entitled. Enjoy it. Nico's trying to make you look bad, and now, right now, he looks like the fool. But that's not going to matter on September 13th when Tennessee plays Georgia. In fact, that's not going to matter how you feel about Nico one way or another when Tennessee plays Syracuse to open up the season. And before you tell me that Syracuse sucks, I will tell you that Syracuse beat Cam Ward last year, for whatever that is worth. Right now, I want to turn my attention to Heupel and Tennessee. Because, yes, the Nico thing didn't work out. Nico's a big boy who wears Sesame Street pajama pants and apparently can't make his own decisions. But that's over. It sounds good for Josh Heupel after spring practice is over and after this drama goes down to be saying nobody's bigger than the power T, and that includes me. And that is a line that Josh Heupel wanted you to hear because he said it before the orange and white game on the pregame show, and he said it in his press conference afterwards. That is a line that he has rehearsed. But while that line gets the masses excited in April, will that line be acceptable if you're 6-6 this fall? Let's just call it how it is right now. Tennessee doesn't have a quarterback. Jake Merklinger is not a starting SEC quarterback, and George McIntyre is a true freshman. And very rarely do true freshmen start in the Southeastern Conference and are ready to play. Bo Nix had a tough first couple of years at Auburn. And that, again, different system than what Tennessee runs. So let's say Tennessee gets crushed this year by Georgia, which I don't think is out of the realm of possibility if you don't have a quarterback. Let's say they get crushed at Bama, which, again, revenge game for Alabama. And Ryan Grubb is the offensive coordinator there now. And Kalen DeBoer, maybe he's got the pulse of his... Again, Kalen DeBoer's won too much to be this crappy the way that he coached last year at Alabama. And let's say they get crushed by Florida, who right now is a top 20 team. Arkansas beat them last year. Oklahoma, traditionally good team in and out. Again, they have a quarterback. You don't. And Vanderbilt. Let's put them on the list because right now, if Vanderbilt played Tennessee today, I would take Vanderbilt. Why? Vandy's got a quarterback. If that's the case, you still have to beat Mississippi State, Kentucky, and Syracuse just to go 6-6. So if you go 6-6, if you go 7-5, and this is the question I have for Tennessee fans, are you going to be able to shrug it off and say, hey, we just got beat by Syracuse, but nobody's bigger than the Power T? Because again, that's the line today. Nobody's bigger than the Power T. And those Vol fans, when they hear that, that is music to their ears. But again, it's easy to say that on April 14th. Lose to Syracuse on August 30th with Georgia coming up. Give me a call and let me know if, again, it's okay to say nobody's bigger than the Power T. Now, personally, I'm fine with it. Because I could look at you and say, hey, I've won with Rick Pitino as my basketball coach. And I've won with Bobby Petrino as my football coach. And I'd rather lose with better people. And I really mean that. But I don't think Tennessee fans feel that way. I don't think Tennessee fans can get thumped by Florida in the swamp and turn around at what would be kind of the end of a down year and say, well, Nico screwed us and we had to stand our ground. So it's okay that we're not as good as we think we should be this year. And we had to take it on the chin with Jake Merklinger. But next year we should be. I don't think Tennessee fans will be able to do that. I've seen a lot of crazy things happen at UT over the years. The one thing the Tennessee fans do not seem to ever accept is losing in the fall. So when it comes to Tennessee, you've got Georgia, Bama, Florida. As of right now, those look like losses. That's three. Arkansas beat you last year. Vandy has a better quarterback than you do right now, and everybody would agree with that. Now, again, with the transfer portals and the quarterbacks and the I don't even know who's on Syracuse's team. So I can't tell you, but I can tell you that Fran Brown, the coach at Syracuse, did beat Miami last year with Cam Ward in a game that was for a trip to the ACC title game for Cam Ward. Tennessee will beat ETSU and UAB and New Mexico State. They'll beat them. But again, the idea of competing for the playoff, not going to happen if you don't have a quarterback. So I have to ask, are you okay with that line, nobody's bigger than the Power T? Are you okay with that today if you go 7-5 or 6-6? 615-737-1025. That's our phone number, 615-737-1025. And yes, I know. The spring transfer portal window is open, and Tennessee is clearly going to go out and look for a quarterback. But I'm not sure that that makes that much of a difference to me. And I will explain why. We'll do it next. And your phones, Trevor at 430, Stillman & Company, 1025, 1063 The Game.
This is a body blow to Tennessee, which was already on the so-called cut line. They have Jake Merlinger, who is serviceably played a couple of games last year, but they don't really have an option. They may go into the portal themselves. They just lost a quarterback to the portal. They may try to get him back. But ultimately, I think what this is going to do for Josh Heupel is buy him a little bit of time. The fact that they said no to Nico, I think will give him a lot of support. He's already gone to the playoffs. He beat Florida and Alabama last year. He's in very good shape. But if this season does not go well, I think Tennessee fans will look at that and go, okay, at least you did the right thing.
There you go. That was Paul Feinbaum talking about, hey, if things don't go well, Tennessee, I think their fans will be able to handle it. Ooh, I don't know about that. Now, there are going to be a lot of Tennessee fans that say, hey, this spring transfer portal window is open and Tennessee's got the money and they're going to be active and they're going to get a quarterback. And I don't disagree with that. But here's the one thing, and I am fascinated to ask Trevor about this when he joins us in about 10 minutes, which is Josh Heupel has a very complex offense. You're going to get a guy in the transfer portal window who hasn't run Josh Heupel's offense, and you are going to teach him the new offense, and he's going to develop chemistry with his receivers, and he's going to be ready to go beat Georgia week three. I have a hard time seeing that actually add up. In the NFL, I always say, look, when there's a new offensive play caller or a new quarterback or some massive change on the offensive side of the ball, wait until November 1st before you really start to see the results of the change in a positive or negative way. Bo Nix, I think, is an example of that. Early in the year, Bo Nix didn't do anything for Denver. By the end of the year, Denver had a quarterback they thought they could win with. But in the NFL, it doesn't really matter if you win those games in September, because what really matters is how you're playing in late October, November, December, and if you can make it into the playoffs. Well, college football is a little different. And so while Tennessee will add a quarterback, I do not believe that Tennessee will be able to add a quarterback who will have an impact this season until probably the very end of the year. Just because of how complex the offense is and really how much they were banking on Nico to take the next step as their starting quarterback. 615-737-1025 here on our program. Brandon, our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brandon, thank you for calling and thank you for waiting. You go ahead.
Hey, I was just going to say, I don't believe that we're going to be so bad without Nico. I mean, you know, Chad said it yesterday on here that you know, he turned Hendon Hooker around. So, I mean, let him go. We'll find somebody else. You know what I mean?
Okay. So here's where I'll use Hendon Hooker as the example. And this is why, again, I wouldn't get my hopes up on a transfer portal quarterback coming in here right away and making that big of a difference. Thank you for your call, by the way. Hendon Hooker was a transfer from Virginia Tech. If you remember, I believe it was Harrison Bailey, Hendon Hooker, and I feel like there was a third guy in there. I can't remember who it was. And they were competing for the starting quarterback job, and then Joe Milton showed up. And they gave the starting quarterback job to Joe Milton. Because Joe Milton, with that cannon of a right arm, impresses everybody until you realize that he can't play. And so Joe Milton got the job, and they beat the Scarbini Sisters of the Poor by a million. And then they had to play Pittsburgh. And I believe midway through that game, Joe Milton got hurt and Hendon Hooker came in. And then Hendon Hooker kept the job because he's more reliable than Joe Milton. Well, Hendon Hooker had a good year in 2021, but it was 2022, the second year in the system, where you could tell that Hendon Hooker and Josh Heupel were attached at the hip. I want to say it was the Kentucky game. You know, the Alabama game is the game everybody remembers because that was such a monumental victory. But the Kentucky game, where Kentucky had a team that people thought might be pretty good, and they came into Lexington, and Tennessee just beat the crap out of them. And I remember Hendon Hooker threw a touchdown pass and ran over to the sideline, and he and Josh Heupel were celebrating and talking, and Heupel had the play sheet over his mouth, and it was almost like you could see. They didn't even have to talk to each other. They could just on command. It looked like Joe Montana and Bill Walsh. That takes time. And we don't allow time to be a thing anymore in really any football, but especially college football. Now, I was thinking about this because a lot of people are making a big deal about the fact that with Nico transferring out of Tennessee, Arch Manning is now the only top quarterback recruit in the class of 2023 who's still on the same team. And it's like, right, because everybody wants things immediately right now. If you pay a guy to be your quarterback, you don't want him to sit on the bench. Deshaun Watson sat on the bench in favor of somebody named Zach Stroud. Who's that? You want to play right away. And if you're getting paid a bunch of money to play, then the fans expect you to be good right away. The one team that has their quarterback is the Manning family, because they're like, yeah, we understand how quarterback development works. So Arch is going to sit the bench the first year. He's going to back up the second year. Now he's ready to play the third year, and they're okay with it. It's going to take time. That's why if I'm Tennessee, I'm okay with Jake Merklinger playing quarterback, and I'm okay with losing. Because I'm not going to throw George McIntyre out there before he's ready, and I'm not going to rush it with a guy to come in here that, you know, doesn't know the offense, doesn't have chemistry with the receivers, doesn't. Again, you're going to set your expectations too high. One texter says, as a lifelong UT fan, I can say I would rather be at 500 than pander to a kid that was below average, or pander to anyone for that matter. Tennessee fans, and this is what Corey Curtis said on Friday, and I agree with it, Tennessee fans would pander to Peyton Manning. Like, if it meant getting it, if Nico was an elite player, Tennessee would have given the kid a raise, and they wouldn't have thought twice about it. And I'm going to tell you why. Because even though these coaches aren't technically supposed to be paying these players directly, if you're Josh Heupel, and I'm guessing, Reed, how much money does Heupel make? $8 million, probably?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. Not as much as some of these players, apparently.
Well, I think it's like in the $8 to $10 million range. If Nico was the truth and he wanted a $2 million raise, wouldn't you take $2 million out of your pocket to make sure that he goes and wins you 10 games?
$9 million for Heupel.
$9 million. And again, I don't think Josh Heupel right now needs the money. I'm not pocket watching, but I think he's made decent amounts of money over his career. Wouldn't you give Nico the two extra million just to make the problem go away? I would. One texter says, Pavia beat number one Bama, retire the jersey. That'd be very Shedeur Sanders of them. But I will say this, I do think Diego Pavia is the best Vanderbilt player I have ever seen in my lifetime. Like, he won't be the best NFL player, but I think as a college football player, he's the best Vanderbilt player I've ever seen. And I still think he's better than Will Levis. Mike says you picked a bad example because Nico couldn't beat Georgia. But I'm not sure anybody playing quarterback could beat Georgia. The question is are you okay getting crushed by Georgia, especially if you get beat by Syracuse before that? One texter says, as a Tennessee fan, I'm good with not adding a quarterback. Let's build up the rest of the team and help out the young quarterbacks. Again, I just don't think a young quarterback. We'll ask Trevor about it. We'll ask Trevor, do you think a young quarterback out of the transfer portal could come in here and learn the Heupel offense and be ready to go against Syracuse on August 30th? We'll get to that next. Plus, his reaction to the weekend that was with Nico Iamaleava, and where does Nico go from here? Apparently, even Belichick's out on him. We'll do that next. Snowman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. How would you like to see Keith Urban at Bridgestone Arena, VIP style? Text in the keyword Keith right now to 615-737-1025 and receive a link to sign up for a chance to win an all-inclusive experience inside the Eurostone Club at Bridgestone Arena to see Keith Urban, plus also a chance to win $1,000 cash. Trevor Maddich joins us now, ESPN College Football Analyst, presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics. When experience matters, Trevor, I'm going to open the floor to you, your reaction to the week that was between Nico Iamaleava and the Tennessee Volunteers. Go.
It was absolutely insane because outside the program, it was unexpected. I mean, you were hearing from coaches and teammates about how Nico this offseason had really grown as a leader. And normally that means that everybody's expecting him to take that next step going into the 2025 season. And then all of a sudden, he doesn't show up for the spring game for practice. And then he basically gets kicked out of the program, whether he wanted to leave or not. And that was just leverage, who knows. And then he becomes the face for all of college football's problems with the transfer portal combined with NIL money. And so all the anger that college football fans have, that media has over the unworkability, coaches have, the unworkability of the current system in college football has all been focused like a laser beam on Nico and his family and his team as representing all of the problems. There will be other quarterbacks that will transfer this year, and nobody's going to say that they were disloyal or that they were all the things being said about Nico. But Nico gets that because he drew attention to himself by skipping a spring practice, one practice. So you put all that stuff together, and it is a steaming cauldron of awful for Nico at a slow news time in college football when it's absolutely the worst time in the world to have everything come together on his head the way that it has.
Okay, Trev, let's start with Nico in this. Where does he go from here? Because, again, if $2 million wasn't good enough for you at Tennessee, you wanted $4 million. I don't think $4 million's out there, but there's a lot of people that don't think Nico's that good. And on top of it, a lot of the big-time money got spent in the first portal window. So is that money, does that exist in the second window? And who's a coach out there that's going to take a quarterback who wasn't happy with $2 million and he wants even more and the dad's going to get involved? Like, I find it hard to believe that there's a coach that's going to bet the farm on Nico. So where does he go from here, Trev?
Yeah, the coach that needs to get to a bowl game this year for his job, or the coach that needs to win 10 games this year for his job and doesn't like his quarterback situation. Because the way things have kind of unfolded right now, you're competing with the difference between building a program and building a team. I mean, Josh Heupel, in talking about no one being bigger than the power T, including himself, he's building a program. It seems like the coach that brings in Nico this year is the coach that's building a team for this year right now, and he needs Nico to come in. And Nico's a very talented guy. Last year, I wasn't impressed with him necessarily, but he did lead the team at the quarterback position to the college football playoff. He wasn't the only that team that could play football, but at the same time, the coach that would bring him in would be a guy that needs to win right now, because the toxicity of social media around him, of regular media around him, the locker rooms around the country are reading all this. And if the coach brings in Nico after saying you need to be loyal to this team, and Nico's been painted with a disloyal brush, then what are you saying to your guys? And so Nico right now, I mean, people say that Tennessee next year is, you know, going to be a contender for the playoff. I don't see that at all. But I don't know that there's any playoff contender, even remotely close to being a playoff contender, that would take Nico right now. And so he may end up getting $2 million a year, which is apparently what he gets now in NIL, or more somewhere. I kind of doubt that he will. But I kind of think he's going to have to end up where he can get an offer. And where that might be, you know, we can talk about. But if I looked at the ideal places for him to go, Notre Dame, I think, would be the best place for him to go for him. You know, in Notre Dame, their quarterback, Riley Leonard, got into the playoff, won a playoff game. He's off to the NFL draft now. And so you'd think that Notre Dame would really want that. But Marcus Freeman, their coach, is very much about building a program. And would he want to bring in a quarterback that brings in this kind of perceived baggage? And if Notre Dame doesn't take him, I'm not sure where in the world he could go.
Trevor, if you were a coach, given the drama and the involvement with the father and everything else, would you be interested in bringing Nico into your program?
I would need a conversation with Nico. Because the one big wild card here from a standpoint of a coach that brings him in is whether or not that coach believes that Nico's the problem or his handlers and advisors are the problem.
Sure.
I mean, it is a monumental, idiotic thing to do to skip the spring game as a part of this whole thing, unless he already has a place that was set up in advance and the money there was set up in advance and he didn't want to risk getting hurt in the spring game. In which case, he should just tell, you know, Josh Heupel, the coach of Tennessee, that. But if that were the case, then, okay, he's playing within the system. You know, if you don't like what he did, well, what he did was something that is allowed in college football, and you can't say that he cheated anybody. You can say that he just went and got the best for himself. But if he doesn't have that kind of a guaranteed setup at the next school already ready to go, then this becomes one of the worst played hands in the history of badly played hands, where, you know, he tried to leverage the team. If it it turned out this way, he tried to leverage the team by skipping the spring game, and instead of the team saying, okay, we'll try to get you more money, the team said, okay, bye-bye. And then he had nowhere to go. So we're going to learn in the next couple of weeks if he's got a place to go or not that was already set up, because he'll land in some place with a big bag and a big pot of jam. But if I'm a coach of a new team and it's not already set up, I want to have a conversation with Nico and his family. because I want to know if Nico's a good kid who took bad advice from people that should have served him better. There's a lot of reports about his father being involved in this. There are reports about other people serving as street agents that are close to him in this. And if I am a coach thinking about bringing Nico in, and if I come to the conclusion that Nico's a good kid, that he is no longer going to listen to these people that led him to this awful place, and that Nico will put up a firewall between himself and everybody else so that I, as the new coach, can coach this guy without interference from other people, then, yeah, I'd bring him in. But absent that assurance, I would be very reluctant to bring him in because of the message it would send to the rest of the locker room.
Yeah. Trevor, where does Tennessee go from here? They've got Jake Merklinger, who's a redshirt freshman. They've got George McIntyre from Brentwood Academy, who is a true freshman. Both are four-star quarterbacks. There's talk about a spring transfer portal pickup here, but I was just talking about this in the last segment, Trevor, and I actually want your opinion on this. When it comes to Josh Heupel's offense, it's a very specific system. Can you get a guy in the spring transfer window who's going to be ready to take on Syracuse, who, by the way, beat Cam Ward last year, who's going to be ready to take on Syracuse on August 30th with the lack of practice time and lack of time with the receivers and new to the system? Can you get a guy up to speed that quickly in this Heupel offense, Trevor?
It's very difficult to do because you can get up to speed in this offense on the whiteboard, in the classroom, pretty quickly. But you've got to execute it at hyper speed at times in order for it to work the way it needs to work. That was the problem with Joe Milton, or one of the problems, when he was the starting quarterback, that he had a big arm, but he wasn't able to connect with receivers down the field, which is one of the things you need to do. You need to be able to be a serious threat to connect with the vertical throws, or this offense won't work very well. And Joe Milton wasn't able to connect with those. The other thing about Joe Milton is that he wasn't able to run the offense at the up-tempo hyperspeed that at times Josh Heupel wants to use. And Hendon Hooker could. And that was the two differences between Hooker and Milton. Hooker could complete those deep passes regularly, and when it came time to run it at hyperspeed, he could. So the new guy that comes in will have to be able to take the cues from the coach without having time to think about it very long, and then get everybody lined up and go right now and know exactly where to go with the football. And if he can't do that, then the offense won't be able to operate at peak efficiency. And there's some good pie-in-the-sky names out there in terms of prospects to bring in that aren't in the portal right now, but that maybe you could coax into the portal somehow. I mean, one name that's been thrown around is Sam Levitt, who's the quarterback in Arizona that, along with running back Cam Scataboo, led them to a playoff berth, Arizona State. And, you know, he's a redshirt sophomore, I think, this year. He was phenomenal last year. And I think he'd be an excellent quarterback in the system, but I don't know that he wants to leave Arizona State. I mean, Jaden Rashad is a guy. He's a quarterback that's been around for a while. He most recently, I think, at Georgia. You know, and he's a former four-star recruit. I mean, he's a guy, another guy with a big arm that might be able to come in. But whoever does come in, without the benefit of spring practice, is going to have to pick up in a few weeks in the fall the ability to operate this thing at hyper speed mentally and then physically be able to connect with those passes down the field. And Tennessee's in trouble right now from a standpoint of their offense because they've lost three offensive linemen, their top three receivers, Dylan Sampson, the top running back in the NFL, or excuse me, the SEC, statistically, along with now their quarterback, Nico Iamaleava, who's not on the team. So whoever comes in isn't necessarily going to be surrounded with a whole bunch of experienced veterans ready to carry him to success. He's going to have to carry them to success. So this is a really difficult place for Tennessee to be in, where the scholarship quarterbacks on the roster right now have almost zero experience between them.
Yeah, if they have to go out there with Jake Merklinger, and I don't know how you'd feel about George McIntyre as a true freshman being their starting quarterback, but let's say they go out there with Merklinger, who it seems like is probably a backup quarterback. Do they have any shot this season of having a successful year?
I would say no right now. Nothing against Merklinger. Maybe he will flourish. I mean, he's got time in the system, and certainly that gives him an edge. And that's a good thing. The question is, will he be able to turn that into a winning scenario without the advantage that Nico had? with those three offensive linemen that are now leaving. Nico had one of the best offensive lines in the SEC and one of the better offensive lines in the nation. And really, last year, they didn't trust Nico a lot. Early in the season, in the non-conference games, they lit everybody up. But then, when they got into SEC play, the coaches didn't let him throw a whole lot. They went to play at Oklahoma, not a very good team, and they ran the ball more times than they threw it. And that was kind of weird to me. And then that happened a bunch of times over the course of the rest of the season. And when you have a great running game, you rely on that running game. I get that. But if you've got a great quarterback to go with the top statistical rushing attack in the SEC, then you should also expect to see a whole lot more deep connections down the field on play action pass that Tennessee was able to show even with Nico. Well, they right now on paper heading into next season are not going to have anywhere near the dominant running attack that they had last year with Dylan Sampson and that great offensive line. And so whoever does come in doesn't only have to learn the system. He won't have the luxury that Nico had last year of leaning on the running attack while he's getting up to speed, while he's developing as a quarterback in this system.
Yeah. Trevor Maddox is with us, presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. The Titans may be interested in another position in the draft. We'll get Trevor's thoughts on that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Stillman and Company, the big news on the Titans front this week. L'Jarius Sneed is in some trouble. Allegedly, he is currently being sued for a shooting at a Dallas area auto dealership. L'Jarius Sneed and his Lamborghini SUV pulled up and fired shots into an alleged victim who is suing L'Jarius Sneed civilly, but there are charges that he is facing criminally. This happened on December 6th. The Titans had a game on December 8th. Sneed was on IR at the time. The Titans haven't said anything other than we're handing it over to the league, and I think that's good news because, again, if Sneed does get suspended under the personal conduct policy by Commissioner Roger Goodell, the guarantees in the contract void, and the Titans could release L'Jarius Sneed and keep all of the money and get rid of that bad knee. So Trevor Maddox is with us, presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Trevor, I think that corner is now a need for the Titans. Clearly, they're going to go Cam Ward at number one, but there are a bunch of corners that should be available right around the top of the second round, whether it's Siobhan Revelle out of East Carolina, Trey Amos out of Ole Miss, Maxwell Hairston out of Kentucky. We haven't talked much about the corner market, but one, Benjamin Morrison out of Notre Dame. Trev, do you think the Titans should be looking corner as far as L'Jarius Sneed is concerned with this incident? And what do you think of the corners? Obviously, we know Travis Hunter won't be available. Jahadae Barron won't be available. Will Johnson won't be available. But what do you think of that second group of corners in the draft?
I think you've got some intriguing picks there because you've got a whole bunch of guys that are kind of bunched together in terms of their draft rating after the top guys. And overall, corner is one of the lower tier position groups when it comes to overall quality. So once those top guys are gone, now you're looking for traits. And one of the guys you mentioned was Maxwell Hairston out of Kentucky. The interesting thing about him is his speed. He ran a 4.28 at the combine, and he runs really well with routes. In other words, he's good at staying in phase with wide receivers as they're running different kinds of routes because he's got all kinds of makeup speed. And the receiver might break away just for a moment, but Hairston then can catch up with it. And the good thing about that is that it forces the quarterback to make a perfect throw. And so there's an advantage there for him. Now, there's other things about him that have got him downgraded a little bit, even though he's super fast. He's not much of a factor in run support, for example. And, you know, he is a guy that needs work on his back pedal and technique and things like that. But you're going to find things like that with all of those guys that are in that position because, once again, once you get past the top guys, you end up with just sort of a bunch of people. So now, where are the traits? Another guy you mentioned is Siobhan Revelle of East Carolina, and he's a guy that's really rocketed up a lot of people's draft boards because he's tested very, very well. And the thing about him that is good is that he's got a really good combination of long arms, long legs, top end speed, and he can really disrupt passes by reaching in because he has all that length and he's fast. But then again, he also is a guy that's kind of raw when it comes to his technique. So if you're looking for a guy that's got a lot of length and can disrupt because of that, then you're looking for a guy like Revell. If you're looking for a guy with a lot of raw speed, then you're looking for a guy like Hairston. By the way, Revell is 6'2", 194. He's a really big guy. Hairston is 5'11", 183. So Hairston, the speed guy. Revell, the length guy. So which guy do you think you can coach up the best around the traits that you want to draft? And those are two guys that are examples of having great traits, but they need coaching up.
Trevor, what do you think is the most immediate need? Let's say the Titans are on the board at 35 and nobody wants to trade with the pick because everybody says this is a bad draft anyways. What is the most immediate need? Edge rusher, wide receiver, or now corner given the Snead developments?
I would take wide receiver. And I think they're more likely to get a wide receiver that can help early. Now, wide receiver is a tough position to come into the NFL and have an impact early, but you can help them by limiting some of the game plan aspects that they're asked to learn and then add to it little by little. But there's going to be, I believe, some wide receivers that will be tremendous upgrades to that position. And if they do draft quarterback Cam Ward with the first pick, they've already upgraded the offensive line in spectacular fashion. Now they need to get him weapons. And edge rusher is critical. Corner is going to be critical. All that stuff is great. But if you're going to build around Cam Ward, then the first thing you need to do is allow Cam Ward to have a first gear and a second gear and a third gear so he can get some traction and get going in the form of weapons that he can throw to.
Trevor, when it comes to the edge rushers in this draft, we know the guys at the top, they won't be there for the Titans, the Abdul Carters of the world. But there are some other names that may be available to the Titans and may be even available in a trade-down scenario. For instance, there's a Nick Scorton out of Texas A&M who may be there when the Titans are picking early in the first round. There's Landon Jackson out of Arkansas. There's JT Tuamolo out of, I butchered his name.
Ohio State, yeah.
JTT out of Ohio State. And Jared Ivey. And Prince, and I don't even know how to pronounce his last name, Unamanalian out of Ole Miss. How do you see this edge rusher class?
This edge rusher class is kind of weird because, again, it's got guys that have really good traits, but that you're also kind of worried about as well. For example, you know, when you've got James Pierce Jr. out of Tennessee, I mean, he was very effective 2 years ago, fell off a little bit this last year, but still pressured the quarterback a lot. But he's the kind of guy that he can be punched. I mean, you can punch him, get him off his game. And so if he is in phase, he's hard to block, but he's easy to get out of phase. Then you talk about Nick Scorton out of Texas A&M. Now, this guy is a very intriguing guy because he's very aggressive. He's got tremendous power. He's got a lot of different pass rush moves. And when you watch him play, you can tell that he's very thoughtful when it comes to what he's trying to do from a game plan standpoint against the guy he's playing against. But he doesn't have a whole lot of length, so guys with long arms can knock him off of his game as well. So, you know, once you get past the first few guys, you get into the second round, edge rusher is a bit of a hit and miss position. That's one of the reasons I like receiver better for Tennessee at that spot.
Trevor Maddich, as always, is presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics when experience matters. Trev, great stuff, and we will talk next week.
Thanks, Jared.
Yep, Trevor Maddich on our program. 615-737-1025. Speaking of the Legarius Sneed situation, there is a move that I believe the Titans should consider and should probably make. And 9 times out of 10, I would tell you guys, do not do this. But I think I would do this year, right now. I'll explain. We'll get to it next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.